It's On Second Thought. I'm Leah Fleming. If you're looking for some weekend entertainment, the 42nd Annual Atlanta Film Festival is kicking off tonight. One of the feature films set to premiere is called Blind Spotting. It tells a story about friendship and the intersection of race and class, all set against the backdrop of Oakland, California. This morning, I'm joined by actor David Diggs. He won a Tony Award for his performance in a little-known project called Hamilton. But it's his role in Blind Spotting that brings him to the Atlanta Film Festival. David also wrote the film. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
We're also joined by Rafael Casal. He also stars in and wrote the film. Rafael, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
All right. So, David, what is Blind Spotting?
It's a film that Rafa and I have been working on for the better part of a decade that is about two lifelong best friends, one black and one white, growing up in Oakland and working as movers in the wake of this new wave of Oakland gentrification. One of them, Colin, played by me, witnesses the police shooting of an unarmed black man on the way home. He is also on the last 3 days of his probation for a crime he committed about a year ago. And so the story is about how their friendship has to adapt and change given this new experience they've had over the next few days.
Rafael, you have described Blind Spotting as a comedy in a world that won't let it be one. What did you mean by that?
Whenever we say that phrase, sort of what we mean is that we wanted to write a comedy that didn't ignore the world that it existed in. Mm-hmm. And so we really just, the movie starts so much as a comedy, but we just don't pretend as though the problems of the world aren't happening and aren't intersecting with our characters' lives at all times. And so we just wanted to present like a really accurate world where comedy is used the way that it actually is used in our lives, which is to deal with trauma and deal with, the problems of our day to day.
Yeah. How did you two meet?
We met in high school, but I didn't like him until after I got back from college.
I was a freshman. He was a senior. These are natural problems.
We went in high school. We both sort of came up in the Bay Area, like youth performance poetry scene in Oakland. And so we started making music together.
And that's how you all have met and had this relationship. All right. Oakland is the film setting. Take us to Oakland for a minute and describe the city and its beat and its influence on culture.
Well, it is a place that is so steeped in revolution. It's the birthplace of the Black Panther Party. It is also highly academic. Mills College is right there. The proximity to UC Berkeley had like such a huge sort of important place in all of the civil rights movements and all of that. And it's also historically a really underserved community. So it exists at the intersection of all of these things and in a sort of resource vacuum in a lot of ways, right? Mm-hmm. And so the people that grow up there are a sort of fascinating mix of coping mechanisms and brilliance, you know. And so that's kind of the Bay Area that we were trying to portray, and all of the history of it sort of seeps into everything about the place. It was also one of the blues hubs of the country in the 20s and 30s. There's a ton of Southern influence because the railways ended there. So there was a large migration of Black folks from Louisiana, actually. You find a ton of families in the Bay Area with roots in Louisiana. It's a really fascinating place. And it is a place that we had never seen portrayed on film in the way that we experienced it growing up. So that was another reason we wanted to make this film, was to try and create a time capsule for the Bay Area we grew up in, which is changing so rapidly.
What about you, Rafael? Is that the Oakland that you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think Dick started to touch on it there. We have this massive Southern influence. We also have like this, we're sort of the mecca for slang and like language culture, because there's also like this deep history of like pimp culture that came out of the Bay Area. And so you have all this vernacular that was pioneered by the music scene, which then was sort of now is a big part of the contemporary vernacular out of like the hip hop movement. And so the heightened language of the Bay Area was so important to us because everything in the Bay is dialed to 11. Like if somebody is like an eccentric person, they're an eccentric person in the Bay. They're like an unbelievably eccentric person anywhere else. And so we wanted to make sure that the Bay dialed to 11 was something that we were portraying on screen. And to us, it's actually dialed down a little bit. Mm-hmm. When people see the film, they're like, there can't really be people like that. We're like, oh man, if you've spent 10 minutes in the Bay, you know that all these characters are real and we've like softened them a little bit for you.
I'm speaking with David Diggs and Rafael Casal. They're the actors and co-producers in Blindspotting. Gentrification is a topic that we have talked about a lot on this show, and it's a topic that many people are talking about these days. How important is it for you to bring issues like that to viewers, David?
I think it's the big problem with gentrification is about the sort of deliberate, almost violent covering over of a culture that was already there, right? So the problem isn't the influx of new money, and it isn't the sort of new good food options that you have in places. These are good things. The point is that these new communities weren't built in the middle of a desert where nobody lived. Somebody and people in Atlanta know this probably better than anybody. Atlanta is in such an interesting place in like a fourth or fifth wave of gentrification. You've had communities coming in and white flight and black redevelopment and all kinds, you know, and it keeps going back and forth. And it's so fascinating. I find myself sort of watching Atlanta to try and see what's going to happen next all of the time. But there is oftentimes a kind of disappearance of a community that feels so intentional and so violent sometimes. And that's the thing that one of the things that we're trying to point to with this film is sort of turn eyes to the unintended and unspoken consequences of gentrification. They're a lot more subtle, I think, you know, have more to do with what schools you get to send your kids to, or you know, the cost of living going up affects a lot of other things too, besides just the cost of your apartment.
Yeah, yeah. You both have backgrounds in Broadway and poetry. And Rafael, you have I hear you have a quote from a famous poet by the name of James Baldwin tattooed on your body. And I'm wondering if you'll tell us what that is.
And where that is.
Right.
I do have a James Baldwin quote on my chest. The quote says, if I love you, I have to make you conscious of the things you don't see. And it's from a larger passage where he talks about the role of the artist is the same as the role of the lover. And then the follow-up statement is that if I love you, I have to make you conscious of the things you don't see. And I think the reason that I got that from a songwriter friend of mine told me that quote, Jenna Bell. I was this amazing singer-songwriter from Oakland. And I love that. I love the idea that like to make art is to love your community and try to better it in some way. And I think in a lot of ways that's what we're trying to do with our films. Like we call it our love letter to Oakland. And it's not a, you know, I think sometimes when you talk about, oh, we did a film about gentrification, you assume there's this big point of view and we have like people that are the target of animosity or something like that. And it's really just like, no, we want to show the, you know, if the New York Times is writing, here's the reason to move to Oakland, here are the 10 reasons that the city's so great, and none of those things really apply to the community that exists there, they sort of step on top of them. Well, then we need a counter narrative. We need to like have a narrative that talks about the people that live there, the frustrations that the city's going through. And like what Dick said, this inherent violence that comes along with gentrification that people who are coming in don't experience, right? There's this clear intersection between the sheer economics of what gentrification does to locals and the way that police begin to patrol the city when there's new and old folks in. And like, who are they responsible to? Who are they protecting, and who is getting pushed out? And so I think we just wanted to show people how to love the Bay Area the way that we grew up loving it.
You talk about police brutality in this movie.
Just a little.
You know, you can't talk about gentrification without talking about police brutality.
And
you can't
lead together.
Yeah, and vice versa. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. There's a scene in there that people will have to see about this and police brutality. So what is the message that you want the audience to ultimately take away from this movie?
I think we pretty much shy away from trying to tell anyone what they should get from it, but I think the one of the big themes of the film is being conscious of the way that you, the way your lens in which you look through to view the world is skewed in your, like, in your channel and in your favor, and what it means to take the time to step outside of that and look at the way that somebody else is functioning in the world through their lens. And so I think just one of the big driving factors of the film is, how do you look at things? And is that the best way to be looking at them?
David?
Yeah, cosign.
So, David, tonight you will receive this Atlanta Film Festival Innovator Award. Talk about how that feels.
I'm super honored. I think it's a little strange for me in some senses, because innovation is not, it doesn't happen in a vacuum, right? Innovation is what I think you do, at least for us, in the due to a lack of resources, right? You innovate in order to do something that you don't really have the full capacity to do. And so everything about this film was sort of based in that process, right? This film was shot in 22 days. It could have used another 22 days, but we shot it in 22 days. You know,
got another six.
So, you know, you innovate based on necessity, and I think that's sort of that's a very Bay Area way of making art too, right? There's not a huge amount of money or finances or studios or resources there, but we do what we can, and you innovate because of that. And so it's cool to be recognized for innovation, but also in the back of my mind, it's like, well, I was just doing the thing that I had to do to get the thing done with the community that I work with.
I'm speaking with David Diggs and Rafael Casal. You are the actors and co-producers of Blindspotting. The film is showing at the Atlanta Film Festival. Thank you so much for coming by.
Thanks for having
Thank
us.
You.